Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, guys and girls. The program you are about to hear will be both fun and educational, but it is not a substitute for medical advice. Although we are doctors, we are not your doctors.
Hello, and welcome to Travel Medicine. As always, I'm your friendly neighborhood internal medicine doc, Dr. J.
Hey, guys. Dr. Santosh here, PEDS ID, and researcher. And Josh, I think I'm dying.
Did you get your flu shot this year, Santosh?
I got my flu shot. I don't think this is the flu. I don't have a fever, so this is probably not the flu. This is like a bad head cold. I'm not dying. I'll be okay after a little bit, but I does not feel very good right now.
Yes, I'd say both of us coincidentally are sick, but not through the same virus, thankfully.
I think you said you were ill or you were getting sick first. I have a sneaking suspicion that you found a way to transmit your virus over cellular airwaves and bounce them off, you know, orbiting satellites, and then send them to me through the mouthpiece of my Pixel. I can't prove it. I just know you did it.
Sips tea. Go on. Yeah. So we're both.
Oh, you audio-fied a visual meme. That was fantastic.
So this week, it is an alternate week, and that means that although we are sick, it is time for us to return and give everybody's favorite segment, Journal Club. Yay!
Yeah.
Cough hack wheeze.
Go Journal Club. Save me from this nightmare. Wait, can Journal Clubs cure the common cold?
This week's Journal Club is appropriate because we're going to be covering a range of studies on the classics. You know, smoking, vaccines, meat, all the fun stuff.
I don't know why smoking, vaccines, and meat sounds like the worst, or maybe the best, Trader Joe's clone. Are you tired of the, you know, relaxed, laissez-faire attitude of Trader Joe's? Come to smoking, vaccines, and meat. Which is different from the type of smoking that we're going to talk about this
Let's
time,
start with the obligatory smoking. Get your flu shots. Because we are well into flu season.
Yeah. We'll put it up on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. But really, you guys should get your flu shot. For those people that it covers, you know, even if the efficacy is a bit low, it will reduce the severity of flu. It will reduce the number of days that you have to take off. But most importantly, and I really, it blunts the passage of influenza such that the ability to transmit it from person to person goes down. It goes around the southern hemisphere, basically Australia.
I guess
some
you could
South
say
America,
it comes from a land down under.
Over the course of a year, the influenza season across Australia is highly predictive
and
of the influenza
while
season
it is a little
across
too early to tell
Europe
for
and
certain,
North America.
Most of the time, Australia tends to be predictive. So it's shaping up to be another bad flu season for them and therefore us. make sure you get the shot.
Yes, please. But because we know, you know, the earlier flu seasons, 2017, 2018, were really bad, this is another kind of on year, 2018, 2019. And protecting yourself by, you know, hand washing, staying home when you can, when you do have flu-like symptoms, which include fever and upper respiratory symptoms. But then finally, vaccinating.
Now, a vaccine can cause a low-grade fever as a normal response.
Flu season.
So that mortality. Doesn't mean that the shot is giving you the flu.
Yeah, your body's getting exposed to an antigen. You're getting components of various flu viruses attached to a conjugate, which is the thing that tells the immune system, hey, this is a foreigner, you should fight this. And then your immune system gains some memory. And then when you meet the flu itself, if you've had a successful uptake of the influenza vaccine, then you beat it off.
And I'm glad that you used the term memory, Santosh, because as we move on into the first of our classics, we're going to talk about MIB.
Is this the Will Smith movie? Because I thought this year was Gemini Man.
No, don't be ridiculous. Not Men in Black. Measles in body. Although they do share a similarity in that they both wipe your memory.
I feel like my only function is to set you up so you can knock these jokes out.
It does help. You're really good at it.
I mean, I was just like, I'm trying to think of, you know, having purpose in life. It's like, isn't that the guy who sets up Dr. Josh's jokes and, you know, then I die?
What a setup.
Yeah.
The perfect punchline.
Yeah.
It would absolutely kill. But.
No, this is something that we've known for a long, long time. But yeah, set it up, Josh, and I'll fill in the rest of the stuff.
Well, Santosh, you're far more qualified to talk about measles. But a new study has uncovered, or has better detailed, how every measles infection essentially wipes your immune system's memory clean, which means just getting the measles literally makes you more susceptible to all other infections.
Yeah. And this was an observation that was made even, I'm talking about, you know, 1960s and 70s, where we found out that after a bout with measles, children would get sick from especially viral infections that they had been exposed to before. So for instance, you know, they'd get mononucleosis early on, and then they'd catch measles. And then as if their body or an immune system had never experienced mono before, they could get mono again. And yes, this can happen without, you know, measles being around, but we actually traced the origins of this, and we found that specifically the measles virus gets into cellular machinery and into our T cells and B cells, and actually wipes clean that little library that we have of our mature cells that hold the key to making sure that when we encounter a pathogen more than once, we can fight it quickly so that the body doesn't experience symptoms. Measles actually disrupts that memory.
It's like a bunch of inept burglars just knocking everything over on their way through the place.
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, basically, you know, you bonk the head of your, you know, your night watchman. And then they're, you know, the next time, you know, a previous set of burglars shows up, they're like, hey, have I met you? Maybe, maybe not. You come in, come on in, have a look around, I suppose.
And it only takes, because of the viral cycle being so rapid, it only takes about 2 weeks for your immune system's memory to be wiped clean. That's a pretty short time to induce immune amnesia.
Yeah, it's extremely rapid. I mean, you know, you have immune amnesia that can happen after weeks and weeks with, you know, conditioning for a bone marrow transplant, mm-hmm. right, Josh? Chemotherapy and all these kind of things. And that's why often after a transplant, you have to revaccinate someone. But this is so much quicker.
So next time you have concerns about the vaccinations, whatever they may be, please keep in mind, you know, if the arguments for herd immunity, meaning protecting your community in general, are insufficient, please consider that a measles infection would undo everything that your body had naturally, organically built up, if you want to think of it that way.
This is worse and worse if we catch measles later on in life, right? So, you know, a kid getting measles can be bad. One in 1,700 kids over there can get very sick from something like bad pneumonia, all the way to one in 1,700 kids getting a horrible, debilitating, and lethal encephalitis. But these numbers go up and up and up as you increase in age. So if you catch measles as a teenager or a 20-year-old, and all of a sudden, you know, you get your immune memory partially knocked out, you can again become susceptible to diseases that you should have been immune to as a small child. So this is why not catching measles is so important. And because the measles vaccine is so, so effective, almost 95 to 99% effective in populations that have been studied, it is one of the best preventions that we have to date.
Now, the methods are basically, this researcher has been tackling this problem for about 15 years or so and taken part in multiple studies that did observe higher rates of infection and reinfection, especially among the pediatric population. You make sure to get your vaccines because, again, you're protecting not only your community, but also yourself. You're the president of the health club for you.
I absolutely love it. Yeah. And so, you know, we'll post the link to the Nature article, Nature Communications from Rick L. De Zwart, up in the Netherlands. This was a beautiful elucidation of that.
Now that you're nice and calm and relaxed, I figured it'd be fun to get you worked up and let you rant about lung vaping injuries.
Yeah, I just finished taking care of a beautiful young person, just 17 years old, who's just perfectly healthy before they started vaping. They said every other day for about 6 months, and all of a sudden just came in with a horrible bilateral moth-eaten pneumonia in the intensive care unit, almost intubated. We've seen other kids a little bit older, 18, 19, 22 years old, who did go into full what we call ARDS, or acute respiratory distress syndrome, where just all of a sudden their lung function just fell out. No previous asthma, no nothing. Their inflammatory markers go up. And then when you do a CT of the lungs have this appearance that we call like ground glass, which is not glass you find on the ground, but
you know, like in a bar fight.
Glass that kind of frosted. No, no, stop it. If you were to grind the glass down so that it has that frosted look to it. You can see through it, but it's still kind of hazy and translucent. We have to go through and make sure that, you know, it's not an infectious disease and it's not a rheumatologic disease. And we have to be very careful because, you know, if it's an infection, for instance, you know, we can't use steroids by and large, which is the treatment. But what ends up happening is these oils that are the carrier or the vehicle for these flavorings and sometimes for the THC, they are volatile hydrocarbons and they're evaporated and they go straight into the small airways, bypassing all of these beautiful defenses that we have, these tiny, tiny airways and alveoli, and boom, you can't breathe. And no, this isn't going to happen to everybody who vapes. You know, this is kind of like smoking. It's a bit selective. And this has actually been found now from people who've undergone bronchoscopy, where you put a scope, a flexible scope down into the lungs. You wash out a lot of the junk and then you pull it up and you can look at it under a microscope. When you see that, you see that these white cells, these sentinel and resident macrophages and monocytes, which are supposed to eat up junk inside of the lungs, look foamy, like they're full of fat. You could actually help make the diagnosis this way. You can do a bronchoalveolar lavage, which means you put that scope in there and then you wash out the junk out of the lungs and you take this stuff out. And then added to the rest of the history, so a person who's been vaping and then you get this sudden acute respiratory collapse in the absence of infection or autoimmune disease. And then you say, oh, you know, it's these hydrocarbons, these little CHCH molecules that have been eaten up by the inflammatory cells that are trying to protect your lungs. And they get foamy. They get like, look like they're full of fat and cholesterol, and they get paralyzed and they release a bunch of inflammatory cytokines and they burn the lung. And so part of this is the, you know, the oil itself, which is causing an injury. Part of it is the host immune response. But there's almost certainly no doubt that vaping is the trigger, because this type of lipoid pneumonia in the absence of vaping is exceedingly rare. So please, people, just cut it the hell out. If you didn't need any more evidence, I believe the CEO of Juul said stop vaping and then step down.
He probably should, given that in addition to the health risks that we're talking about, it's also pretty explicitly a way to market smoking to kids. But separate from that, the idea that this acute lipoid pneumonia is caused by aerosolized oils from e-cigarettes, specifically vitamin E. Now, the question is, are the oils coming from the cannabis product, as 80% of patients who have presented with vape lung have been young males in their 20s with acute symptoms for less than a week before coming in? Or is it coming from the vitamin E oil used as the flavor carrier, which is what is leading to Juul's CEO to step down?
Yeah, and you know, we knew about these flavors before, Josh. You know, we saw acute lung injury in people who worked in some of these factories. Diacyl, for instance, is used as that like buttery popcorn flavor. And the FDA actually got rid of it because the people working in the factories who are making the buttery flavor popcorn, as well as our neighborhood friendly like movie theater concession stands types of people, they would get sick from inhaling this stuff.
I know this is a very anger-inducing story for you, but let's have some fun with it. As we said, the symptoms, difficulty breathing, cough, occasionally chest pain from all that coughing, nausea, vomiting, fever, chills, all those things. But vape lung is just kind of, or vaping lung injury is just what we've been calling it in these early stages. That's largely from the newspapers. We don't really have a specific name other than acute lipoid pneumonia. And we're always going on about how terrible scientists are at naming things. So this week, I want you to tweet at me or Santosh. And Santosh, let's hear your best better name for vape injury.
There is one, you know, Juulitis came around, which was kind of silly.
Juulveoli.
Juulveolitis is actually a really good one. As opposed to like, you know, vaping inhalation injury or vape-induced inhalation injury, I can probably sleep on this and think of a much better.
Well, send us your best. I'm at Dr. J Comedy. Santosh is at Toshifro. And I want to see some better names for vaping lung. Let's throw it out to you guys. Santosh, what have you heard lately about? I know you're vegetarian, but what have you heard lately about red? What's the good word, my Hindu friend?
What's the good word? So, you know, there's all these. I live out in California, and you know, being a
I already said you were vegetarian.
But it's not that we get fad diets all the time, right? From our patients and all these kind of people. Oh, get rid of gluten or paleo or whatever the hell that, you know, is the new like du jour that either like a Kardashian will come out with or something. There were actually three really good papers on, well, one really bad one, a couple of other, you know, good ones on red meat. The look, the evidence is pointing to.
Let's play free association. I say red meat, you say.
Go ahead.
Cow. There's a long standing association between meat, and poor health, at least to those of our generation. It raises your risk for a variety of diseases, and as such, we have been told cut down, which is great because we're seeing a huge rise in meat alternatives such as Beyond, Impossible, Plant, all the whatever the brand of fake burger is. Yeah. A new study has come out that basically says, oh, the last 30, 40 years of meat research, which is a field, should just be thrown out and, you know, go ahead. Eat as much meat as you want. Go hog wild.
Well, like, I guess they're trying to call hogs
people?
The other
is it people?
White
is it Soylent Green?
Oh, no. Sorry, I messed that up. No. Pork is the other white meat. Babies is the other white meat. Which those fans of ours who've seen Austin Powers,
so
although I may have aged myself out.
That everyone's talking
that
about
phrase.
With this red meat not being bad. It's a little much to say it's exclusively good, but it's not bad. So why don't you tell us about how they came to that conclusion?
This is multiple pieces of research, and this is what we call a systematic review. So when we try to come to a conclusion with data, right? So say, you know, our previous story that, you know, vaping causes, you know, lung injury just from the vaping. In this case, when we're trying to find if red meat has an association with specific diseases, and this too, you know, we should parse it out, right? So certain cancers, heart disease, et cetera, we can't just say it's blanket bad for you. That's a bit absurd. But what they did is they took a look at the strength of the evidence, first of all, meaning that were the tests and trials that were done well-controlled? Did they have a large enough sample size? Did they show the effect that they were purporting to show? And then when you compile enough of these good pieces of evidence together, usually in the form of several studies, you get something called a systemic review or systematic review or a meta-analysis. And this is the closest thing we get, you know, when we're trying to compile a solid guideline and saying, this is the stuff that we can assert with a lot of surety. And then we usually try to put in there, you know, things that we don't know yet. And so we had two teams of reviewers independently extracting data, assessing risk of bias. They got 73 articles eligible for these analyses, 30 for cancer, 80 reported cancer incidents. And, you know, there was like, I guess, low certainty evidence that said three
you know,
servings
of
unprocessed
like
meat
or
per
7 week
days
a week
were associated with a very small reduction. So that like if you went under three servings of unprocessed meat a week, right, exactly, which is a very American thing, you had a small reduction in overall cancer mortality over a lifetime. And, you know, this is kind of what we got. Meat, veggies, grains, all these kind of things. Eat it in a certain amount of moderation and you're gonna be fine.
Not according to this article. You don't have to moderate, and moderation's for suckers. Here's the problem. He used a nutrition science is
it
hard.
Is. No, but so this was like the meta-analysis, right? But you're talking about a different analysis.
In grading these studies, saying how much importance should we assign to each study in our overall study of studies.
Right, exactly. So this is called weighting. W-E-I-G-H-T-I-N-G. So
not
how much
like
weight?
Tapping your foot and looking at your wrist.
Yeah. not what we did for Godot. This is this is weighing or weighting the study. Yeah.
And the way they weighted these studies basically was holding them to an unfair standard for the kind of information they're researching. They treated it like a pharmaceutical drug study where you can easily have controls, put people on a treatment or not on a treatment.
Right,
you can't, you know, find it's there's a shortage of identical twins who differ only in one is a complete and utter vegan and the other lives on nothing but meat and potatoes.
That would be an interesting set of cohorts to do. Yeah, because that's the ideal, right? You have age matching, you have genetically identical, you have very, very similar or identical activity levels and sleep and, you know, concordance with things like smoking and sexual habits and everything else. And then you're able to get rid of all of these that we call confounders and zero in on a single variable as it relates to a particular condition. In this case, Josh, I think they were focusing in on cancer.
Well, they also, I won't say belittled the results of previous studies, but downplayed them, specifically saying that, look, if people reduce meat consumption once a week, there might be a proven 1 to 6 fewer heart attacks per 1,000 people, but there'd be no effect on deaths resulting from heart disease or any cause overall. 3 million people is not small potatoes. Also, we've learned that the study has been funded by Big Meat.
Yeah, and I mean, but this is important, right? You know, financial disclosures and conflicts of interest should be laid bare when you're doing this kind of things. But we are running into a statistical paradox. We run into this quite often, right, Josh? So I say something like, you know, in our earlier data that we were talking about vaccines, when I say, okay, you know, you have a 1 in 1,700 chance of getting sclerosing panencephalitis from measles. People would be like, oh, I'll roll those dice. That's fine. But then you think about, you know, there's all these children and there's 300 million people. A 1 in 1,700 chance, you know, of getting this encephalitis would be absolutely bonkers.
And to be fair, most
in terms of flooding our healthcare system,
food or nutrition research is funded by large agricultural or large food companies. But a little more suspect is that the analysis, led
really
by
not
Bradley
a lot of
C.
Other
Johnston,
people willing
an
to pay
epidemiologist
for this stuff.
In Canada at Dalhousie University, was also formerly led a study that tried to discredit international
Canada
health guidelines advising people to eat less sugar.
Yeah, and that, I think that science is well settled.
And the study saying you don't have to limit your red meat intake was in part funded by Cargill, one of the largest beef processors in North America, at the same time that a wave of plant-based meat alternatives have become popular in all the fast food markets. So you can understand.
Yeah, that's a weird coincidence. Well, we're just a little skeptical. Yeah. Now, I think it's good, you know, exactly how we put this into context. You're absolutely right. The number needed to treat NNT, if we're talking about something like heart disease, is about 6,000 people. You know, if you say you reduce your meat intake among 6,000 people, you'll save a couple of heart attacks there. But just like with all these other statistical paradox we talked about, that is a real reduction when it comes to your health. And the other part of it is that when we are seeing heart attacks, patients coming in with heart attacks in our hospital in wave after wave, if you're saying you're going to cut out one or two out of every 6,000 people, that's a massive drop in the number of hospitalizations and morbidity and healthcare costs.
Now, although
you know,
his motives may be suspect,
a little bit of meat out of your
independent scientists and panels who reviewed Dr. Johnston's methods did note they were not very objective or rigorous. He's like, he said objective, but he admitted it's difficult to do these studies. And they all had to disclose how much meat they ate, their personal eating habits. So Johnson's like, well, I eat 1 to 2 servings of red or processed meat per week. I'm just saying you totally can eat more. No conflict of interest.
No. So that's kind of like the guy who's trying to promote smoking. saying that, like, oh, how much do you smoke, Mr. So-and-so? Me, I never touch the stuff. Yeah.
So just, you know, take it with a grain of salt. And if you're already in the habit of decreasing your meat intake, go right on ahead and keep doing that. Yeah.
And while you're at it, you may want to reduce that pinch of salt a little bit too.
Go ahead and eat more meat if you'll just stop using salt.
Salt, yeah, the pure salt that we use, the amount of salt that we use, especially when we go out to dine in our restaurants, it's way too much. I think, Josh, I can say with good confidence that at least in our American diet over here, we eat to excess. We eat sweets and sugar and salt and meat and especially processed meats to way to excess. If the average consumer cut down on the amount of junk food that we ate, and I totally understand that that's a very difficult thing sometimes. If you're stuck, you're doing two or three jobs a day, you just have to grab a bite at a McDonald's and that's all you get to eat for the day. But if we as a society, if we're able to provide for people so that, you know, their food intake was a little heavier on fresh fruits and vegetables, and we were able to drop the servings of meat, salt, and sugar per day, we do a lot
of good.
So
that's it. We've, you know, reinforced pretty much the same things we've been telling people from the beginning about smoking. Don't.
Yeah.
Red meat, less, and shots. Get them.
Yeah. It's a... Get it, you know, you guys might be saying out there, it's like, oh, you know, but at least the vaping is, you know, better than actually smoking. I say to thee, no, just don't do either.
So
please.
That's it for this week, but I thought I'd try something new for the Just the Tips. Now that we do have a functional and updated Instagram, I looked at some of the most liked photos from the feed and figured I would cover one of them for this week's Just the Tip.
Come on by, drop on over to Instagram, Facebook. Tell us what you'd like to hear.
The Jal Mahal Water Palace in Jaipur, which is a 5-story palace in the middle of a lake. Oh, and by the way, 4 of those stories are underwater. It's also haunted. You know, screams have been heard coming from beneath the water after dark.
So we've covered this before, and it's probably a combination of, like, drafts and infrasound.
And, you know, ghosts.
I'm going to kill you. Oh, if only my entire body wasn't hurting, I would kill you.
Well, the palace's name is the Water Palace, and it started as a duck hunting palace for the royals of Rajasthan.
Duck hunting palace. You know what I miss with
That's
my
right.
duck hunting?
It was an NES game.
You know, I love coming out here and shooting at helpless ducks, but you know what would make it better? Castle. Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't approve, but to be fair, if you're going from standing in the reeds in muddy boots to sitting on a palace, I have to agree.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you can just put your feet up on the railing while, like, lounging off a balcony, and you just, like, aim your bow and arrow or your gun or whatever you have and just bang while people feed you grapes. Yeah, I guess so. I'd advise doing it without the shooting at the duck.
Now, you can book boat visits to see the garden on the 5th floor, although you can't go underwater. You can't use the undersea levels, Mario.
Unless you have a froggy suit.
However, it's hard to believe this place was neglected for over 200 years between being a live-action NES game and a tourist attraction for the nearby Amur Fort.
I can see that happening. Unfortunately, you know, there were swaths of India which were kind of left alone because there were either colonial forces that said, oh, you know, you don't need to go there anymore, that's not important, and people who decided that, oh, this isn't an important, historical thing to maintain. But, You know, India right now is in a period of a little bit of self-discovery. I hope it goes in the right direction. And some of this, a lot of this actually, is finding heritage sites
yes.
like this one.
Make sure our precious duck hunteries. At least it doesn't have that super dog.
The dog wasn't dead. The dog was chasing down
You'd
the
You'd laugh when you missed.
Dead duck.
Cheater!
Walk straight up to the TV. you just pointed your gun. Yeah, what
Oh,
cheater?
I forgot to tell you the
it's
most impressive
like
thing about Duck Hunt Palace.
Like guns
Water Palace.
Or whatever. You just walk up
Jal Mahal.
And shoot the damn thing.
It's going to become a restaurant. Rumors on rumors.
Oh, for real? Nice.
But after undergoing a 6 or 7 year renovation to take away the smell from sewage seeping
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They have started to remodel it and are considering making it a restaurant as a tourist destination.
Uh-huh.
From the Trident Hotel. And I don't know,
nice.
You could get
okay. That'd be
duck.
Cool.
I mean,
what do you get?
Anyway,
what
that's
do you get
it
if you're
for
a vegetarian?
This week's I Journal
just,
Club.
Just bamboo reeds. I don't know.
Disappointed.
Disappointed.
As always. Well, we love to hear your comments, questions, and feedback. You can find links on where to do
yeah,
that, as well as support
us
spiritually,
good,
emotionally,
actually.
Or financially in the show notes.
Oh my gosh, Josh. We got to do this for the next
Looking
Journal
forward
Club.
To
There's
it.
A monkeypox vaccine.
This show is produced by me with
pox.
A lot of help.
We'll talk about
from
it on the next Journal
Santosh
Club.
And all our co-hosts. Our theme music is composed by Monkey Rachel
pox!
Ledger. And until next time, as always, happy travels.
Monkeypox.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.